Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion about the issue of the day. Today we're talking about just say no to the half-cent sales tax for the Board of Education. Just say no to that additional tax on we the people. We'll be interviewing in a moment Matt Schellenberg, former city councilman for District 6, chair District 6 here in Jacksonville. We're delighted to have him with us. We'll introduce him in a moment and ask you to join us in the dialogue and discussion about this sales tax question. It's on the ballot. Number of people have been pushing and moving and shaking to get it done, and I pray that you will listen intently, stay tuned carefully, and join in the dialogue and discussion on that issue. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so according to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I believe it's incumbent upon every Christian, every conservative, every patriotic American to recognize and understand what the Word of God says, because it is God that is sovereign, it is God that is on the throne, it's God that's watching over all, it's God that places people in office and removes people from office, and so therefore we need to honor His Word. In fact, I'm prone to be reminded of Psalms 146, verse 3 today. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. You see, ladies and gentlemen, our help, our hope, comes from the Lord. It was Jesus in John 8, 31 and 32 said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am truth. And then in John 17, 17, the Lord Jesus makes a profound pronouncement. He says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God that ought to motivate us today. However, we find in the society in which we're living in, very much like George Orwell, the secularist, said many years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. If you don't believe that, just get in a circle of people and start talking about issues, standing on truth, and you will find there's a great debate in relationship to what is truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my prayer for you today, ladies and gentlemen, that you would seek the truth, love the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's what I believe God calls upon us to do, individually and collectively, as a people and as a nation, that we need to stand on truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. They have a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, to answer all of your questions about hurricane preparedness equipment and power backup generation. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. The gigantic flag with the U.S. flag flowing. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the very last days of the most important election cycle. I believe it is the most seminal election in the history of America. Now, some say it is the most important election in their lifetimes. That can be stated also. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to reelect President Donald J. Trump for Americans, for faith and for family and for the freedom of our nation, that these things, faith, family, and freedom, might be preserved and the future of America. Ladies and gentlemen, on November the 3rd, exactly 3 weeks from today, and many will start casting their ballots. I believe the early voting is on October the 19th for the state of Florida. They've already started on the 12th of October in Georgia and different dates across the nation. But early voting in general has already started. In fact, I understand even before early voting, just with the mail-in ballots that have been taken back to the election headquarters and placed into the box, I believe the word was yesterday, some 57,000 Duval Countyans have already voted in the early election by casting a vote mail-in ballot, but being taken in rather than being mailed in. And I commend that effort on all of you that have already voted. But ladies and gentlemen, on the ballot, it's not just talking about a man. We're not talking about just a man, Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, when we cast a ballot for President Trump, we're voting for American sovereignty. We're voting for American security. We're voting for American southern border wall to continue to be built. When we vote for Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen, we're voting for our religious freedom and the continuation of our churches to remain open without governmental intervention and without the government stepping in and say you can or you can't. Worship. Ladies and gentlemen, when we vote for President Trump, we're voting for the preservation of our right to keep and bear arms. Self-defense. Joe Biden, as you know, has already said that he's going to take away our guns. He's going to use Beto as his gun czar. And Beto has already bragged about the fact he's going to confiscate guns. But ladies and gentlemen, when we vote for President Trump, we're voting for the preservation of our right to keep and bear arms. When we vote for Donald J. Trump, we're voting for the next Supreme Court justice. As we have watched yesterday and today, the opening salvo in relationship to the confirmation in the Senate of Judge Amy Coney Barrett, some call her ACB. But in that vote, ladies and gentlemen, we're voting for the ultimate security of the United States of America for decades to come in relationship to an originalist and a constitutionalist and going by the original intent of our Constitution. So when we vote for President Trump, ladies and gentlemen, we're voting to protect every baby in the womb of the mother, not murder by way of abortion, as Joe Biden and Kamala Harris believe that it should be. In fact, their position is that right up till the baby is born, you could still take the life of that child. That's nothing but infanticide. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we have folks that believe that is okay. In fact, one of the senators this morning talking with and asking questions for the Supreme Court nominee said something about the right of a woman to control her body. That's all right to control your body, but it doesn't give you the right to kill another human being. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we vote for Donald Trump, we're voting to protect the baby in the womb. We're voting to protect innocent lives when we vote for Donald Trump. When we vote for Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen, we're voting for the Bill of Rights in general. When we vote for Trump, we're voting for marriage between one man and one woman. Not Steve and Adam, not Sally and Susie, but one man and one woman. Not a sodomite lifestyle and marriage. We're voting for the protection of marriage, ladies and gentlemen. When we vote for Trump, we're voting for pro-Israel so that God will continue to bless America. When we vote for President Trump, we're voting for law enforcement and against the Marxist, socialist, communist thuggery that's taking place in our streets today. When we vote for President Trump, we're voting for our Constitution and the constitutional law, not international law, and we're voting to preserve our Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, when we vote for President Trump, were voting against the Biden-Harris number one agenda. Joe Biden has said his number one agenda when going into office will be to make federal law out of House Bill 5, which is the sodomite LGBTQ agenda, which he says, as Nancy Pelosi has already stated, when that was passed into through the House, 240 votes, it's now in the Senate with 47 senators having already signed on. Joe Biden says that will be his number one priority to make that federal law, that the LGBTQ agenda will trump, that is, take precedence over and authority over the church or any religious freedoms that we have preserved in our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, a vote for President Trump is a vote for God. It's a vote for country and not for the persecution, the prosecution, the people of faith. Although the presidential election, ladies and gentlemen, is on the November the 3rd ballot, we also have other very important political positions and constitutional amendments, at least for the state of Florida. One of those is, ladies and gentlemen, the half-cent sales tax, where the Board of Education has decided they need to construct more buildings and rehab buildings, etc., and they're pushing for a one-half-cent sales tax increase for the Volcanians. Before we introduce our guest today, I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Hello?
Hello. Go ahead, please.
Hey, listen, I got a question. Either you are with God or you are with the devil. That's what the Bible is very clear. So my question is, have you heard about the hearings about the judge for the Supreme Court? All those Democrats hate this woman. This woman went to the Capitol Hill to speak with all of them, and they all refused to speak with her because of her Christian values. What's wrong with that? I mean, since when you have to believe or be a wicked, evil, vile Democrat in order to be confirmed to the Supreme Court? Is that something new? So don't tell
brother,
me
we're headed more and more in a secularist society today. We have an absolute divided America. One is that of faith and family and the future of America. And the other is the push for the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic party that will give us a one-party system for the next 100 years in America and destroy us, make us simply part of the banana republics that's around the world. This is the reason I've advocated and indicated for months and months and months now the need for us to reaffirm President Donald J. Trump going back into office if we want the preservation of faith, family, and freedom and the future of America. You're exactly right.
Brother,
we're seeing more and more of that push.
If you call yourself a Christian and you still support the Democrats, take 20 minutes and watch those hearings. These people hate anybody that has fear of God, that believes in the Almighty. They hate him. So don't tell me you are a so-called Christian and you support those enemies of God. And one more thing, brother. I came from visiting our son in Atlanta yesterday. He's been in Atlanta for 4 years, right? He went yesterday to vote early in Atlanta. And when we got home, there's a mail-in ballot for him, even though he moved from Florida to Atlanta. Isn't that to me? This is fraud. Let's say that I want to fill that ballot and vote for him. He'll be voting in Atlanta and he'll be voting here. I will never do that. But you see how easy it is? That's why the Democrats want mail-in ballots, because it's easy for them to steal the election. So we have
absolutely
to be grateful.
And brother, demands our serious attention and our fervent prayer asking God to intervene. We can go across the land, and I've done broadcast after broadcast on the subject of the ballot harvesting, and even today across America we have major problems with the voting and the in some cases where a dog or a cat by name in a family will receive a ballot under that name. Dead people have been getting ballots in the mail, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One person that gave his testimony that he'd been moved from Colorado for 11 years, and yet a ballot is still sent out to his mother's home address under his name in Colorado, and he's been out of that state for 11 years, he said. So it deserves our serious prayer and attention. Hang in there today. Listen to the broadcast. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we get down to the elemental, fundamental thought about this half-cent sales tax. Thank you so much for calling today. I believe we need to go ahead and introduce our guest today. And then immediately after that, in a few words, we'll have our next caller. I'm delighted to have with us today, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Schellingberg. Matt served for 8 years on the city council representing District 6, and I can say openly and without any equivocation, I am thankful for Matt for his stand on conservative issues for our city, for that which he was able to do during his 8 years on city council, and for his continued stand as a concerned citizen in Duval County about some of these issues. Matt perhaps has a greater handle on the issue of the asset sales tax and the school board, the Board of Education in Duval County, than most others that I have talked with in recent years. Matt, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. Thank you for taking your time from a busy schedule to join us and have dialogue and discussion on this issue of the school board's half-cent sales tax.
Thank you very much again for inviting me. I think this is an important issue. I think that people need to be educated both for all the money that's being spent, all the fines and all the advertising. You got the mayor telling everybody to vote for it. But more importantly is, what's the other side of the coin? And I want to educate people like you do on what is the other side of the coin. And that's what we're going to talk about, as you said today. And I'm looking forward to jumping into that conversation.
Great. We're delighted to have you. Before we get into that conversation, I believe we have another caller waiting online. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go right ahead.
Yes. I was irritated this morning as I listened to one of my preferred conservative news outlets, One America News, Newsmax, or Christian Broadcasting Network. Governor Cuomo was pontificating that only 10% of a church's capacity was allowed to participate in services and that the churches are considered non-essential. The local churches challenged Governor Cuomo, but a judge upheld the governor. The thought came to me that maybe it's time for civil disobedience, it may be time to consider secession from the United States. I know this is a radical idea, but radical persecution needs to be met with radical resistance. Of course, slavery was not worth fighting for, but religious freedom is. However, only legal and nonviolent methods must be used. The socialists and atheists are pushing people like me too far. Even so, resistance must be done according to biblical principles. So that was my comment.
Brother, I thank you for your call, and you're exactly right. Let me say two or three things in relationship to that, and then we'll get back on the half-cent sales tax. I think, number one, we need to look at it on this basis. Number one, our Bill of Rights, as DOJ, Department of Justice, Bill Barr has already stated, he's written letters to state after state after state. There's not an exception any place in our Bill of Rights in the First Amendment that allows COVID-19 or any other pandemic or any other emergency to take precedence over the freedom that we have, the religious liberty to open our churches and to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, we find on the left coast and the right coast, that is with Governor Cuomo and Governor Newsom in California, both those governors have the idea and the mindset that their executive orders are, in fact, de facto law, and that is not the case at all. In fact, all of this lockdown came about as a result of deception from China through the World Health Organization with Dr. Tedros, Dr. Fauci, and Dr. Birx that all hanging around the White House saying in their white jackets that we need to shut down our nation. And as a result of that, we had the shutdown. I've said for 8 months on this broadcast that at the very beginning, if pastors had a spiritual, biblical backbone, all pastors across America would have said, no, we're not shutting our doors, we're not closing the churches. But because pastors have hidden under the bed and in the closets, they've allowed the government federal takeover, and it's forcing the government, allowing the government then to force the churches to obey Caesar rather than Christ, and that's where the difficulty comes in. So yes, there is a time for civil disobedience. I'm not one that will say we need to get in the streets with arms, but I believe the civil disobedience needs to be on the basis that Christians will vote in mass on November the 3rd, and that we will vote yes to President Donald J. Trump for him to remain in office to continue to maintain our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, our right to keep and bear arms, and all of the amendments that we find in the Bill of Rights. That is our need today and the responsibility. This is the reason we need to recognize this is perhaps the most seminal election in the history of America, because it will decide whether or not we become a socialist Marxist nation or that we'll remain a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. Matt, thank you for hanging in there. Let me ask you this question. As we think about this subject today of the half-cent sales tax that's being promulgated and pushed, you were just speaking of just a moment ago about so many of them, our mayor and others, pushing for this half-cent sales tax. Across America today, let me just say this. We have across America today, parents are choosing to have alternate forms of education. Some have gone to private schools, charter schools, religious schools. Some have co-op educational. Some have going just with homeschooling. Why should we continue to expend greater and greater tax dollars for brick-and-mortar schools when we're finding a total tectonic shift in the educational process? Do you think that what we're seeing pushed into Vol County is antithetical to what we see on a national level?
My opinion is that I think that whenever people are emotionally engaged in this conversation, and I ran for school board basically saying, hey, let's take the emotion out and let's have an honest discussion about what actually do we see going forward with school education, K through 12, but also colleges. On a local level, we're just dealing with the K through 12. But I think that over the next less than 10 years, over the next 5 years and 10 years, you're going to see a titanic shift in how we educate our children. And interesting enough, I will always relate it to business. The businesses that are successful now, unfortunately, are the big ones, because they can adapt quicker to the changes in life going forward. Restaurants, the big restaurants are doing fantastic, because they have gone from this to a drive-in and utilizing the computers and internet to be more successful. And if you take the same analogy to that, into the education, you're going to see a titanic shift on education and how we teach our children going forward. And brick and mortar are okay, but it's not going to be the overwhelming desire going forward on what people look like in education. It has always been brick and mortar, but look at the world we live in, including yours. You are now on the radio. You're on the internet. You are reaching out to your members and congregants in many different venues, Instagram. This is what education should be moving to more dramatically, and quit looking backwards that brick and mortar is the solution and a half-cent sales tax is the old almighty money that does not solve the problem.
Exactly. Well spoken. I believe you're exactly right. One of the things we find too, Matt, you correct me if I'm wrong, but in Duval County, for years and years and years, we continued year after year after year up until the past 3 or 4 years, perhaps 5, of an increase in the student body annually. But the past recent years, in fact, I don't know that they've done any type of survey to determine for the 2020 school year whether or not we've had a decrease or if it's flat. I believe, as I understand it correctly, I believe the number of students for Duval County has either flattened or literally decreased in number. At the same time, they're talking about spending more money for brick and mortar. Am I right or is that wrong?
That's correct. Over the last 5 or 10 years, the actual number of students in the Duval County system is around 115,000 students, K through 12. And so the big thing is the schools are the oldest in the state, to a great extent, for the big thing. But that is a misleading number to this extent. St. John's County is building a school basically almost every year, because everybody wants to – most people that live in Jacksonville are moving in this area. They're moving there. So their average is always going to be substantially down. They have a school, St. Augustine High School, that's got to be 50, 60 years old, maybe older than that. But when you average in a new high school, that brings it average down. So when you look at our schools, the reason why we have older schools is we don't need new schools to bring the average down. The most recent school we have is Atlantic Coast, which is 6 years old. And it went 20 years before we built that school. Do you realize in the same time frame, St. John's County built 5 high schools? And so they brought the average down. And one other thing I'd like to make a point at, you mean just because I live in a house that's 30 years old, you telling me that if you don't maintain it, it does go in disrepair. All these years, the school system has had over $100 million for repair and maintenance of schools. What have they done with that money? Why haven't they consolidated schools? You know why? Because they don't have the political backbone. Look at the school board members. They're teachers. That's a great profession, but they don't have the skill as a business person to make those hard choices on what is actually being done with the $1.7 billion budget they currently have.
$1.7 billion, that's a fantastic number. Let me ask you a question, Matt. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're interviewing today Matt Schellenberg. Matt served honorably for 8 years as our city council for District 6. He has an intimate knowledge of the workings of the school board. And what we're talking about today is the half-cent sales tax that's been promulgated. It's on your ballot. If you've already voted, you probably voted one way or the other on it. If you've not voted yet, you need to listen up and understand the mechanics of what we're talking about with this promulgation of a half-cent sales tax. Matt, with the $1.7 billion budget, tell me, what kind of accountability do we find on the school board and the superintendent of schools with the dollar in, dollar out, auditing and or some type accountability for we the people that paid the tax money for that?
Excellent question, as you always do. Let's go with the first thing. They haven't had a complete audit of those books in the last 5 or 10 years. That means that the superintendent of schools, Diana Green, basically is moving money wherever she sees fit, and the board members are not asking the hard questions about where are you spending the money. And this goes back to basically during the pandemic in the March and April. And I'll tell you just a couple instances where you can tell the board doesn't know what they're doing. First of all, when all the pandemic happened, the school board was on the agenda to buy face masks. And during that board meeting, which I watched remotely, and everybody was doing Zoom, they spoke for an hour and a half discussing spending $340,000 to buy face masks. Every member of the school board had different questions asking of Diana Green. And at the end, when all the conversation ended, someone proposed to move the bill to spend $340,000. Dr. Green at that time said, oh, we've already spent the money. We want you to acknowledge that we've done it. So during an hour and a half and before, Dr. Green didn't tell one board member, not one board member, they'd already bought the mask. That's a disrespect of the office. It's a disrespect of the school board, and it's just a typical example of the superintendent and the administration running roughshod over our money of $1.7 billion, which has actually gone up 3 or 4% over the last 5 years. So it's not that they're lacking money, but the disrespect of the people that give them money, which is our taxpayers. Second of all, do you realize during the pandemic, the principals and vice principals got a 2% pay raise.
And while sitting at home.
they stayed at home. So my question then becomes, while people are being laid off, 80% of the people that were laid off made less than $40,000 a year. People that sending their children to school, they were being laid off. They were trying to get unemployment insurance. But at the same time, the board thought it was necessary to give these people that are probably on the higher range of people making money in Jacksonville a 2% raise. Are you telling me that, by the way, during this pandemic, did the board take a pay cut?
Did the no.
superintendent and administration take a pay cut? No.
Matt, hang on to your thought right there. We're going to take the top of the hour 1 minute news break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't turn your dial. We'll continue to talk about this half cent sales tax. It's on the one of the things that we'll be voting on November the 3rd. We'll be right back right after the news.
Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.